We are in Brachos Perek Ches Mishnah Aleph. Elu Devarim Shebein Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Basuda. This Perek is going to have several disputes between Beis Shammai, the school of Shammai, and the school of Hillel, with respect to Seudos, with respect to sitting in a meal. Many halachos are relevant to a meal, and they will debate many issues. This is the first one. Beis Shammai Omer Mivarech Al Hayom Ve'achar Kach Mivarech Al Hayayin. When we're making Kiddush, so the question is, which bracha should go first? Should it be the Bread Priya Gafen? Or, and people, and when people didn't have wine, they would make, couldn't afford wine, they would make Kiddush on bread. So it would be the Hamotzi and Lechel Aretz. Should that, those be, brachos be first, or the bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbos, or if it's Yotzim, Mekadesh HaShabbos, the Hazmanim. So Beis Shammai says, not like we do, Mevarech Alayom, first you say Mekadesh HaShabbos, or Mekadesh HaShabbos, Hazmanim, that whole long part of the Kiddush, and then before I drink, Vacharkach Mevarech Alayim, then I make Bar Piyah Gofen. Why should that be? So the Gemara says, because Shahayom Goreim Layayin Sheyavo. It's the day. Why am I drinking wine now? I'm drinking wine now because it's Yontif, because it's Shabbos. So obviously Shabbos is the most important, and that's the one that causes the wine to be brought. So I should make the Mekadesh Shabbos first, and then only then the bracha of Rav Priyah Gofen. No, Mivarech al Hayayin v'achakach Mivarech al Hayom. No, you make the bracha on the wine first, and then the bracha as we do, and then Mekadesh Shabbos afterwards. Why? So one reason the Gemara gives is because for Beis Hillel is because I can't make Kiddush unless I have wine or unless I have bread. So see, it's really the wine that allows me to make Kiddush, and that's why the wine should precede the Kiddush. I should make Rav Priyah Gofen. And then Mekadesh HaShabbos. The other reason is because wine is Tadir. Tadir V'Shein or Tadir Tadir Kodim. The rule is, the principle is, when I have things, I have two items or two mitzvos, and one comes more frequently, I do the one that comes more frequently first. And we certainly drink wine and make hamotzi if I'm making Kiddush on bread. Let's say I make hamotzi and brach on wine a lot more than I make Mekadesh HaShabbos, Mekadesh HaShabbos Hazmanim. So therefore, since wine is Tadir, we make brachos Paragofen more often than we make Mekadesh HaShabbos. So therefore, that should precede it, and it should be Hagafen, and then Mekadesh HaShabbos. Perekhes Mishnah Beis needs a long introduction. This will be the first time of probably many that we have to introduce some of the levels of Tumah. So we'll begin with a little bit of an introduction. The highest level of Tumah is a dead body. Is what we call Avi Avos HaTumah, the grandfather of Tumah. We're going to put that aside because that's not very relevant for us right now. And we're going to deal with the other levels of Tumah. The next level below that is what we call an Av HaTumah. An Av HaTumah would be someone who touched a dead body. Could be a Metzora, someone has Tzaras, a Zav. We mentioned the Zav, the male Zav in a previous Mishnah. A Sheretz that has died. There are eight crawling or rodent type of creatures that are discussed in Parsha Shemini that in their death are a high level of tumah called an avatumah, let's say a dead toad or a dead mouse, or and several lizards that are listed there. And a nevela. A nevela is a carcass, an animal that died and was not shechted. So we're going to spend time discussing a nevela just by way of an example. So the nevela, let's say, is this high level called Av HaTumah. And if a person or a kli or a vessel touches that nevela, that vessel, that person becomes what we call a Rishon LaTumah. So if I touched a dead deer lying on the side of the road, and I touched that dead deer, so that dead deer is an Av HaTumah, and I am a Rishon LaTumah. If I now would touch food or drink, so then I sit down at a meal and I put my hands on a piece of bread, so gluten-free bread, of course, so that would become a Sheni LaTumah. A Sheni LaTumah. Now, once something is a Sheni LaTumah, so that should be the last level, and it is, with respect at least to regular types of food. However, Truma, which we know goes to the Kohen, Truma food, can become a Shlichi LaTumah. And Karbanos, Kachim, food, meat, can actually become a Revi LaTumah. So let's say, for example, we'll just discuss the Shlichi LaTumah. Let's say that, so I touched the dead deer. The dead deer is an Av HaTumah. I'm a Rishon LaTumah. I touch the piece of bread that I'm about to eat, and that bread touches now truma bread that a Kohen's supposed to eat. So that truma bread becomes a Shlishi LaTumah, which is only because of the Kedusha of truma is there the possibility of a Shlishi LaTumah, and of course if that touches a piece of meat that's kachim, that will become a Revi LaTumah. There is a general rule when it comes to a person's hands. The hands, the Gemara says, Stam Yadayim Shnios LaTumah. A person's hands, if we don't know where they are, they could be touching tummy things all the time, we always assume hands have the status of a Sheni LaTumah. So even though hands We don't know if I touched anything. We assume that my hands are a sheni lutuma. Now, why is that important? Because a kohen who wants to eat truma has to realize, oh my gosh, my hands are a sheni lutuma. If I touch this truma bread, the truma bread becomes a shlishi lutuma. It becomes tame, and then you're eating tame food. Can't do that. So what should a kohen do? A kohen needs to do netilas yadayim. He washed netilas yadayim, therefore his hands are tahor, and he doesn't make the truma into a shlishi lutuma. This actually became a universal practice, which we're very familiar with, because the kohen had to wash his hands, which are sheni lutuma. Everyone's hands are a sheni lutuma, but only he would ruin the truma, because only truma becomes a shlishi. Became universal practice that everybody washes their hands before they eat bread. Now, there is another halacha that's important, and that is that although we usually go down in levels, there is actually an interesting chumrah, and that is that a liquid can become a rishon latuma from a sheni latuma. So you could have, let's say you could have a kli that's, when you have another food or what have you, that's a sheni latuma, let's say. A kli generally doesn't become a sheni latuma. We'll talk about that maybe in a couple of minutes. So that would mean that if hands would touch a liquid, so that liquid would actually instead of not becoming tummy at all, and even if that liquid is not truma liquid, not truma wine or oil, liquid becomes a rishon latuma, from even a sheni latuma. So that's another piece of introduction that we need for this Mishnah. Now, the one other thing it's important to know is as follows. So let's say I have, my hands are tame, right? They're, we assume that they're sheni latuma, and I touch wine. So the wine we know becomes now a rishon latuma. So let's see, let's say you have a cup, which I have. I have wine, and I'm planning on drinking wine. So the wine, let's say, is a rishon latuma and touches the outside of a cup. So guess what? There is a gzera derabanan that cup actually becomes a sheni latuma. That the rishon latuma liquid could actually make the cup into a sheni latuma. That is the halacha. Now, that makes the outside tamei, not the inside. So this was the gzera derabanan that a tamei liquid can make the outside of a cup into a sheni latuma. Now, So if other wine, let's say that's tahor, now touches the outside of this cup, which is a sheni latuma, that also becomes a rishon latuma. So a lot of this keeps going back and forth. I have tame hands, and my tame hands touch a liquid, so that liquid becomes a rishon latuma. That liquid happens to touch a cup. The outside of the cup, the chachamim made gzera, becomes a sheni latuma. If now other liquid touches the outside of that cup, so that becomes a rishon latuma again. So we have big problems here. One of the big problems, well, the problem is that now I want to wash my hands. I also want to make kiddush, or I want to drink a cup of wine. So I'm worried here is the outside of the cup, tamei, how am I supposed to deal with this? I'm washing it till the last time and my hands are wet, but maybe wine will spill over onto the outside of the cup. So I have a lot to discuss here. So now the Gemara in Maseches Brachos actually says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel debate the following issue. And that is, are you permitted to use a cup whose outside is tummy? So just imagine, now with all that introduction, I have a cup, and the outside of the cup became tummy. How it became tummy is not important. It became tummy. So the outside of the cup is tummy. Say, Beis Shammai says, no. You're not allowed to use the cup. Why? What am I afraid of? So forget, the inside's not tummy, but the outside of the cup is tummy. Why can you use that cup? Because I'm afraid that some of the liquid, let's say wine, inside the cup may splash onto the outside. Ah, and since the outside is tamei, let's say it's a sheni latuma, but this is liquid splashing on the outside of the cup, that liquid automatically becomes, based on this rabbinic decree, becomes a rishon latuma. Aha, and now that liquid is going to touch my hands. So now my hands become tamei. So, and then what do I want to do? I want to eat. However, say it's not a problem. You're allowed to use the cup whose outside is tame, because it's not very common that liquid is going to splash onto the outside of the cup. So therefore, we're not afraid your hands are going to become tummy. Now we'll understand what this Mishnah is talking about. Perechas Mishnah Beis Beishamay Omrim Notlin Layodayim V'acharkach Mosgin Esakos. This is the order. Could be for Kiddush, some say. Could be just in general. First you wash and then you make Kiddush. This is not necessarily the source of the German Minog, probably not, of washing before Kiddush. That has a whole other discussion in Gemara Maseches Pesachim. We wouldn't be following Beis Shammai. We usually follow Beis Hillel. But nonetheless, Beis Shammai has this reason of Tumah V'Tahara, why we wash first and then we make our Kiddush, or then we make our bracha on our wine. Why? Because of the following. Remember, Beis Shammai held that you're not allowed to use a cup whose outside, whose exterior is tameh. We explained that already. So now we're dealing with an our Mishnah, obviously, according to Beis Shammai. If I'm not allowed to use a cup that's outside is tameh, must be that we're dealing with a cup where everything is tameh. The inside is tameh, the outside is tameh. So what's the problem? The problem is like this. If the wine that I want to have at the beginning of the meal, right? If I would do that before Netilas Yadayim, so they have the following concern. Maybe some of the liquid is going to splash out. It's going to make the outside of the cup and get the outside of the cup wet. Now remember, the outside of the cup, in this case, according to Beis Shammai, is not tame. Aha. But if my hands have not been washed, so my hands are already a sheni l'tuma, and they will make the liquid that splashes out into make it tame. Aha. And then I'll be using this cup the whole time and touching now touching the cup after with my hands not being washed. So Beis Shammai says this is what you need to do. Wash first. So this way, your hands will be tahor, and it will never, your hands will never transmit any tumah to the cup, right? So even if something splashes out to the outside of the cup, remember, the outside of the cup is tahor. So if something splashes on the outside, no problem would arise if, as long as I wash Netilas HaDayim, my hands can't make anything tumah. So that's Beis Shammai's opinion. Beis Hillel Omrim, no, the opposite. Mosgim Nezakos, V'achar Kach Notlin LaYadayim. First, you pour the cup, you dilute the cup, you make your Kiddush, you make Gafen, whatever, and drink your wine. V'achar Kach Notlin LaYadayim. Why? So remember, Beis Hillel permitted to use a cup whose outside, whose exterior is tameh. All right, the interior we know is tahor, but the outside is tameh, and we said there's nothing wrong with using that kind of cup. So the case in the Mishnah could likely be where the outside of the cup is tameh. Aha! So why does Beis Hillel want me to make Kiddush first or make a Hagafen first and only wash the Netilas Yadayim afterwards? Because there's a concern if you would wash the Netilas Yadayim first, okay? Why? Because if a person would wash the Netilas Yadayim and then drink from the cup, what's going to happen? The outside of the cup, remember, which is tameh, may now transmit tumah to your hands. Your hands are wet from washing the Netilas Yadayim. And that liquid, will now bring tumah back to your hands because the outside of the cup made the water on your hands, which maybe you didn't dry so well, make it a tumah. Your hand has become tumah. And then I'm going to eat my meal, without washing a new Netilas Yadayim. So this way, pour your wine, drink your wine, and only afterwards you wash Netilas Yadayim.